has to go out of town this morning, so we're going to kind of pick it up just a little bit as we go through this Jesus Wept lesson. Of course, it's good to see everybody once again, having traversed the far wilds of Mexico. Now we're back in the United States of America. They let us back in. I wasn't sure they would do that, but they figured out that we were citizens and let us back in. So our lesson for the morning, taken from the 16th chapter of the book of John, is memorize, understand, and believe. The text, John chapter 16, verse 12 through 15, let us read it together, is on page 4 of your bulletin and also on our little PowerPoint presentation. It reads as follows. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do, in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, once again, I thank you humbly that you've come to hear the message for today. And before we deal with the exposition of John chapter 16, let's look briefly at the question, why do we come to church? We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, Jesus has just completed his discourse to his disciples, and at the end of the discourse, he says in John chapter 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus is telling the disciples that they are not ready for the totality of authentic and attractive discipleship. This is a very important point, and we should all take note of the fact that even after 3 years of walking with Jesus, the disciples were not completely ready for discipleship. After 3 years of preparation, there was still a great deal of information that Jesus could not give the disciples about life and discipleship because they could not bear it. This passage of Scripture helps us to understand human development. It is important that we understand the truth about the human condition, that we are not born fully grown. Some animal species reproduce young that do not require parenting, but that is not the human condition. Human beings require both parenting and mentoring to develop a moral value system. To develop a moral value system, we must memorize the moral laws or concepts of God, and then develop an understanding of the moral concepts of God that we have memorized, and then come to a belief that to live according to the moral concepts of God is the correct way to live. Of course, we need a certain maturity level to develop understanding and belief. The optimum situation is to begin the development of a moral belief system as a child. We should teach young children the Ten Commandments from Deuteronomy 5 and the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5 and other relevant biblical passages by rote memorization before they even have the ability to intellectually understand the language. When the child reaches the academic level of language development, that allows them to understand the moral concepts that they have memorized, the child can then more easily be taught to believe that these concepts are correct because they already know the concepts. Memorization, followed by understanding and then belief, is our developmental paradigm. That's two dimes for you, just in case you were. We were somewhere one day, and we bought something, and when the change came out, there were two dimes in the change. So Paul gave me the two dimes and said, "That's your paradigms." So I just had to throw that in. I vividly remember an experience that I had when my son Paul was in the fifth grade. I received a letter from the school that Paul was attending, the purpose of which was to obtain my consent for Paul to participate in the sex education class. The letter stated that if I wanted to review the material, I could do so at a designated time. As the time allotted was not convenient for me, I contacted the school and was given an alternate time to review the material. When I reached the session, the sex education teacher was there along with an Hispanic couple. The teacher was a little old white-haired lady that appeared to be about 60 years old. The Hispanic couple was there to review the information as I was. The teacher gave us some explanation about the information and then proceeded to show us the film that they were using, and I found the film somewhat sexually graphic. At the conclusion of the film, the Hispanic man was enraged. He shouted, "You shouldn't be showing kids this kind of stuff." He got up from his chair, still shouting. His wife was trying to get his attention to calm him down, but he wasn't having it. I thought I was going to have to intervene to keep the guy from jumping on the teacher. But finally, his wife wrapped herself around him, got his attention, pleaded with him to leave the classroom, and finally pulled him away. At this point, only the teacher and I were left in the classroom. I said to her, "May I ask you a question?" She said, "Certainly." I said, "Now suppose I were a student in your class and I watched this information. At the conclusion of the class, I came up to you and asked, 'Teacher, is it right for the girls in the class and me to do the stuff on this video? What would you tell me?'" The teacher said, "We don't make value judgments here. We just give the children the information and let them make their own choices." Needless to say, I did not allow my son to participate in the program. To raise a moral child, you must teach him moral values before he has a frame of reference for understanding the actions involved, so that his understanding develops around the moral concepts that you have already given him. Since I had not installed values into my son about sexuality, as I did not see the relevance of the information to a fifth grader, it would have been counterproductive for him to have graphic sexual information without the values. I was listening to a radio program this week in which the commentator, a trained marriage and family therapist, answers questions about family issues. A lady caller asked a question about allowing her child to participate in a drug prevention program that the school had for first graders. The commentator asked the caller, "Is there a big problem with drugs in your child's first grade class?" The lady said that she didn't think so. "Well," said the commentator, "if it's not broke, don't fix it. The drug problem seems to be with the entertainers and the actors in our society. Maybe they should participate in the program, but it doesn't seem to be relevant to first graders." Jesus, I think, would have agreed. In John chapter 16, verse 12, he tells the disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Jesus recognized the need for contextual preparation for Christian concepts, and Jesus knew that the disciples were not ready for the totality of discipleship. In preparation for his passion, Jesus warned the disciples that they would forsake him in the hour that he was arrested. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30-35 tells us, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Now, Peter and the disciples argued with Jesus about their level of preparation. Although the disciples were warned about Jesus' arrest, they were not able to adequately deal with the situation and accompany Jesus to his trial. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 through 56 records, and while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now Jesus knew that the disciples were not ready to take up the torch, as they could not even stand to accompany him to his trial. However, Jesus made provisions to ensure that the disciples would eventually be prepared for the task that he was going to delegate to them. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, a guide is one of the most important things that a person can have when going into territory with which they are unfamiliar. The Spirit of Truth, that is the Holy Spirit, is the guide that the Lord gave the disciples to show them the way to complete the task of developing the church. The Holy Spirit led the disciples as they did the things recorded in the book of Acts. A reading of the book of Acts makes it clear that although the full title of the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, the actual story is that of the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8 records, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, one of the things that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 16, verse 12, when he said the apostles could not bear the teaching, was the command to be Jesus's witnesses, the witnesses of Jesus's resurrection. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23 records, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Although Jesus prophesied to the apostles that he was going to rise from the dead, the apostles did not understand the concept. Remember our developmental paradigm: memorization followed by understanding followed by belief. The apostles memorized the prophecy, but they could not understand it, thus they could not believe it. Peter rebuked Jesus when he heard the resurrection prophecy because the concept was so far outside of his comprehension that he just could not fathom it. In the time of the book of Acts, however, the fulfillment of the prophecy, that is, the experience of seeing Jesus actually alive after his death, gave Peter understanding and belief. Once Peter had the understanding and belief, the Holy Spirit equipped Peter with the gospel message. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached his great Pentecostal sermon, after which 3,000 souls joined the church. It is important for us to understand the developmental paradigm. There are things that we have read in the scriptures about the Lord that we may not understand, thus we do not believe them. Some concepts are so far outside of our experiences that we can read them in the scriptures and not understand them. Other concepts are so far outside of our desires that although we can read and understand them, we do not want to believe them. It is important that we do not allow our understanding to lead our desires and not allow our desires to lead our understanding. If we use our desires as a platform for choice, it is most likely that we will make the choice to disobey the commands of the Lord, even though we may understand his commands. Remember the situation in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2 and 3, the woman's response to the serpent made it clear that she had memorized the command of God. Genesis 3:2-3 says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now when the serpent tempted her to eat the fruit of the tree, she disregarded God's commandment and, in her mind, replaced the teaching of the Lord with her own rationale as what she should do. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 tells us, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." The woman memorized the word of God, but her lack of understanding of the concept of death and her desire to eat the fruit destroyed her belief in the word of God. God's warning about death was not sufficient to deter her from eating the fruit, because without observing the experience of death, she could not fathom it, just as Peter could not fathom the concept of resurrection until he saw Jesus rise. Sometimes, however, it is better to believe the testimony of those more experienced rather than having to go through the experience yourself. Jesus makes that point in his conversation with Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29. The Bible says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Those who have not seen, that is, those who believe the testimony of the experienced without undergoing the experience, are blessed. What is their blessing? They have the belief without the experience. I denied my son the school's teaching about sexuality because I recognized that to give him sexual information in an environment devoid of moral values would not serve him. I freely admit that I did not want my son thinking about sexual matters while he was in the fifth grade. Why? Am I a killjoy or an uptight prude that does not think that people should enjoy themselves sexually? By no means. I have simply memorized the Word of God, which says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. The scripture teaches that a man should make a marital commitment before beginning cohabitation and sexual activity with a woman. Being engaged or being boyfriend and girlfriend are agreements, not commitments. To be someone's boyfriend or girlfriend, or even to be engaged to marry someone, means that you have agreed with them about your status, but until you sign the marriage license, you are not committed to them. People sometimes erroneously say, why get married? If we are in love, a marriage license is just a piece of paper. While that is true, it is also true that the paper is important. If you don't think that the paper is important, try to finance a car or a house without signing the papers. You will find that the bank or the finance company will not commit money to your project until you sign on the dotted line. Why? People are notorious for changing their minds. There may not be a financial penalty when you back out of an agreement, but there is a financial penalty when you fail to keep your commitment. Of course, you can sign a commitment to pay back a loan and then default on your commitment, but the loan company has the record of your actions and can sue you in a court of law and collect, or at least make your default public, so that the next loan company will know that you are not a good credit risk. Married people can divorce one another, but the fact that divorce exists is not a good reason to skip marriage, just as the possibility of default does not stop the loan office from demanding your signature on the loan commitment. Within the context of marriage, of course, people have the motive, opportunity, and means, and more importantly, the Lord's approval to enjoy themselves sexually. 1 Corinthians 7:2-5 tells us, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. If we as married people maintain our sexual fidelity to one another, we can fully explore and enjoy our sexuality without fear of sexually transmitted diseases, unwanted pregnancies, or other negative consequences. God's command is not one that endeavors to stifle our enjoyment of one another, but one that endeavors to give us a framework for the free enjoyment of one another. The Word of God is like a traffic signal on the street. When you see the red light, you need to stop. Not because the city does not want you to reach your destination, but so that you can reach your destination safely without having an accident. In the matters of sexual behavior, in order to avoid accidents, we should obey the Word of God just as we obey red lights on the street. So now that the Holy Spirit has come and He has inspired the disciples to produce the divinely inspired written Word of God, we have access to biblical teachings that the disciples could not bear. Let us govern ourselves according to the precious teachings of the Holy Spirit through the pens of the apostles. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 records, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you that you have given us another opportunity to bring forth the lesson, and that you have given us the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to understand our development, and that we might be able to lead our children and live ourselves according to your word. Sink your word deep into our hearts. Hide our word in your heart that we might not sin against you, and give us an understanding and a belief that we might be able to hold up the bloodstained banner for you. Now we thank you for all that are in the house today. We thank you that they've all returned back after our absence. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give them traveling mercies and bring them back again at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have allowed us to travel from one place to another and make it back safely at the appointed time. We thank you that you've made the road safe for those who were driving, that you've made the airways safe for those who were flying, that you've just kept our lives and allowed us to continue to roll on. And we just thank you for that we're here once again in this place today. Now we're praying for Paul's friends, Eric, Courtney, Rick, and Brian. And we ask you, Lord, that you would navigate those young men's hearts and minds. Give them a lifestyle with which you will be pleased. Give them that which they need, Lord, to grow and to develop. Give them a value system, Lord, that will meet your requirements, that they might be pleasing in your sight, and help them to be help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now we're praying also for Sister Allen's family, Lord. We're thanking you that she's doing as well as she is, and we're praying that you'd allow some more business to come to the store, which she seems to be a little bit down about. But we ask you, Lord, that you would bless them and let some of their products move, Lord. We're also praying for Brother Henry Hersey in specific, Lord, in that he is going into surgery, and we're asking you, Lord, that you would let the doctors have uncommon skill as they work on his case. We're praying also for Arnold. He's in school, Lord, and we're asking you to give him wisdom and knowledge as he goes to class and picks up that information that he needs to know. And we ask you to bless them all. We thank you, Lord, that Brother Brian Hayes has made it home from Iraq, and we just thank you that you have safeguarded him and kept him up from that time until this one. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to allow his military experience to be safe. Let him not travel all those miles back home to be injured in an accident here. Just make him safe until he is able to get back to his family. And we thank you for it, Lord. We're praying for Janelle. We ask, Lord, that you would help her trip back to St. Louis to be well today as she has to go back to school. And we thank you, Lord, that she has gone to school and she has learned some things, and she's having some new experiences that she has never had before, Lord. And we're asking you that you would uplift her spirit and give her the confidence that she needs to go on in that situation. Lord, we're praying for Sister Winston, and we're asking you, Lord, that you would continue to help her to recover from the rotator cuff problem that she has had. And we thank you that she's here today, Lord, and we thank you that she's able to come out. We pray for their restaurant, and we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to send people in there to get those ribs and get that chicken and that fish and all those good desserts, Lord, and help them to be prosperous on that end. And we're also praying for Linda Daniels and her kidney problem. We ask that you would bless in that regard. We're praying, Lord, for Brother Eduardo and his family, and we're also praying, Lord, for my son Paul and his business. We thank you that his projects are coming to fruition, that his business is beginning to rise, and that things are beginning to go in the way that he would like them to go, Lord. And we ask you that you would just continue to bless in that. Continue to give them that which they require, Lord. Give him good ideas as he goes out to his various clients' places of business, that he might be able to fix their problems and provide them with solutions that would cause them to give him even more of his business. Help them, Lord, to help their hardware to work well, let the air conditioning work in the computer lab, and all those things that are required that they might be able to provide good service to their customers, and help the collections people to pick up that money as well. Praying for Mother Z, for Meddy, for Mary Ford, for Tony and Jennifer, Lord, we ask you that you would bless Tony and Jennifer and Gary and Nika as they gestate those children. Also for Chris and Hope, as their children are coming near, their babies are coming near the end of their term. Praying for Darlene Bomarito and Kian in college, for Osas, and for Ben, and for Dimitri and Coretta, for Joe and Carolyn Cooper, for Michael and Annette Fowler, and for Robert and Jackie Perkins. Lord, we ask you that you would bless all of those in Dimitri's family that he is asking us to pray for as well. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to have a good show this Tuesday, and bless Evangelist Betty Carter Cooney, Lord. And we're also praying for Roscoe George as he is dealing with a prostate cancer issue. We ask you to bless him, and for John and Debbie Conroy as she is dealing with a cyst on her forehead. We ask you to bless her and give her that healing that she needs. Lord, we're praying for Sister Smith, wherever she may be today, and we ask you that you would bless her family and her sisters and her children and herself, Lord, that she might be able to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're praying for the television station, Lord, and for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for the armed forces, and for the government. Lord, we're asking you that you would bless those who are in the rule over us, that they might rule in the way that you would have them to do so. Now we pray for the young men and women in this neighborhood, and we ask you that you would bless them, give them the information that they need, that they might come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" And for the salvation also of our family and friends. Bless the men who are going to meet tomorrow night at the barbershop and deal with those issues that we have to deal with. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would also bless our program on television this coming Tuesday. Give us that we require to make a good show, that it might edify the hearers. Now, Lord, we pray for all that are in the house. We thank you, Lord, for the McClures, and we thank you for their faithfulness and their steadfastness. Help their daughter in school, Lord, and give them the desires of their heart. Help their son, Lord, as he is driving around the city preparing for the coming basketball season. Make his jump shots accurate and help him to get grades so that he can perform on the team. We continue to pray for Sister Winston. Bless her arm and her physical condition, and bring her back. For Sister Allen, bless her economic condition at the store, and help her with those little grandchildren that she's bringing along with her. And I pray for Paul and his business, and I ask you that you would bless my wife, who's the love of my life, and give her that which she requires as well. Now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we thank you for this little place that you've given us, that we might be able to come and explore your word, and just bless us to come back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And thank God and praise God. Memorization, understanding, and belief. We remember, we have memorized what Jesus said in the upper room when he told the disciples to eat, to take the bread and eat it, and to drink the wine, all of it, that it might be a remembrance for him, for as often as they would do so. And we understand the concept because we never want to forget the Lord as we walk in our day-to-day lives. We don't always remember what he has done for us and govern ourselves according to his word. And finally, we want to believe. We believe that Jesus died and that he rose again and that his sacrifice was the full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So in our memorization and our understanding and our belief of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the sacrament that he has given us, that we might be able to remember it, let us eat and drink together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.